wonder if the test for yourself to see if you are officially old is when you feel a great sense of joy of having a clean house. Specifically during the spring.
Yeah. Spring cleaning is pretty satisfying.
Especially the garage.
And like, the yard for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
I am a father, so. But garage cleaning is a whole nother world of just satisfaction. There's a feeling of reverence when the whole garage is cleaned out of all its crap from the winter and the fall. And I don't know. It's like you want to be in there all the time.
Well, you're like that anytime we make any improvement to the house. You just want to stand there and stare at it. Like you come in the room just to see the new shelf that you put up or something.
Even if it's an incremental improvement.
Yeah, minor things.
I want to
give
see
us
it.
Great joy.
So, hey, welcome to While She's Napping. I am Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
I wonder how many people started a podcast as a result of my shitty advice last week.
I don't think it was shitty advice.
I don't know. I never considered my advice to be good advice.
Yeah, but you learn from your own experience and mistakes, and I think that's valuable for people to hear without having to go through their own trial and error.
We should have noted this last week, but we got another 5-star review, and we really appreciate that. I don't know, the positive reinforcement, the kind words. And specifically, we enjoy going on walks with people. If it's through their ear holes from audio, we are happy to keep you entertained during your walks. And apparently, we extend the walk.
Right.
This person takes the long route to listen to us.
Yeah, to finish out the episode in one session. Yeah.
So there you go. We appreciate that. And on that note, if you're listening to us for the first time, we welcome you to the show. Today, we're going to talk about the controversial topic of a vaccine passport. If you've listened to any of our episodes before, I'm sure you know where we lean on this, but it is a good time to talk about this, specifically because people are starting to get vaccinated and it's becoming a hot button issue amongst the conspiracy theorists and people that are paranoid about
it. But that being said, I do think, I agree that most people who've been listening to us for a while or who know us can, you know, assume where we fall in this. But I think part of the reason I wanted to talk about it is because it's not, even though I sort of have my natural tendency for how I feel about it, it's not something I have extremely strong feelings about because I've come across some considerations and some other things that I hadn't really hadn't thought about at first. And so I do think there are some legitimate concerns about this. There are others that I think are paranoid and ridiculous and kind of going down the conspiracy theory, you know, holes. But that's why I thought this would be a good time to talk about it.
Yeah. It's current. So we hope you enjoy the episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. Again, we are a weekly podcast. We come into your feeds every Monday morning, bright and early, first thing. So you get a nice little jolt of energy from us to start your week. And we appreciate it. We appreciate the downloads. We appreciate the shares. We're on all your podcatchers and YouTube. Not video, but if you like to consume your audio on YouTube, we are there. So let's just jump right in. We can get into the socials and stuff later on. But
okay.
Let's just jump right in because I have a feeling this is going to be a long show. Or rather, a show full of information.
Well, we only have till the end of our nap.
So. Yeah. Hence the name.
Yep.
So as far as I understand it, as of today, by the time this is in people's feeds, it will be April 12th. So as of April 12th, predicting the future here, the government, the federal government of the United States, has no intentions on making this sort of a law or anything to say, in order to do X, whatever X is, you need to be vaccinated, correct?
As far as I know, yeah. The Biden administration has made it pretty clear that they don't intend to have this be a federally regulated thing at all. And it would be something that is implemented at a more local level or by individual businesses or venues or whatever to decide how they want to go about requiring either proof of vaccine, whether that's with this digital sort of vaccine passport or health credential, I've also heard it called, or showing your physical vaccine card, or showing proof of a negative test. I feel like it's one way or another. It's just to show that you aren't, you know, posing a serious risk to the other people in the public place.
But that's my understanding. But that can't be done across the board, right? So it can't be one of those options to do whatever you want. In other words, you can't bring, if there was a concert and say Live Nation said, only those with proof of vaccination are allowed to go. Or to attend because it's a large gathering. I don't know that the negative test would cut that, right? You that's easily forgeable and it's very fallible.
Right. I've been wondering that too. Even I was thinking about it when we were watching, catching up on some of our TV shows last night. It's the, should I mention what it is? The series?
Yeah.
The Chicago series. Med and fire and PD and all that.
Yeah.
But they are so inconsistent with how they show people wearing masks, especially on Med. It's like in a hospital.
Because you got to hear them.
I understand. But Grey's Anatomy has been doing their whole show with people in N95s. But anyway, they often, I feel like they try to address that by saying like, oh, so they when they're bringing a patient in, they say, oh, they tested negative for COVID. And that's sort of like how they excuse people not wearing masks during the show. But every time I hear that, I'm like, okay, but we always hear a negative test isn't necessarily, you can't rely on it if the person wasn't quarantining leading up to the test and if they, like, depending on when their last potential contact was. So I struggle with that too, how proof of a negative test without quarantine and without understanding the timing of the test, how that really tells you anything.
I don't want to sidetrack too much, but from my understanding though, when it comes to privately owned businesses, I don't see this vaccine passport being implemented anywhere other than large gatherings outside of maybe the grocery store, right? I don't think the grocery store is going to be able to say to its customers, hey, we need proof of vaccine or vaccination status in order for you to shop here. First of all, that would be lucratively terrible for them. In other words, they're not going to make money. They're turning away customers where they're...
You could say that about any...
It's an essential thing.
Yes.
You know, so having... I think at worst what they could do, or at best rather, is saying, hey, if you can show us proof of vaccination, you don't have to walk around with the mask. If you don't have proof of vaccination, you have to wear a mask.
I don't even think that's where it's going about... who can come into a place but wear a mask or not wear a mask. I think mask wearing is going to be here until we basically reach herd immunity, but that's also not going to be done on a large scale all at once. It's not like one day we're going to wake up and the whole country or the whole world has reached herd immunity. So I think that's going to happen on a local scale. But I think once a certain community, whether it's a city or a town or a state or whatever, has reached that level of herd immunity where we don't have the community spread that puts even unvaccinated people at high risk, then we'll start to get back to the actual normal of people not having to wearing masks, whether you're vaccinated or not. My interpretation is that it's being able to attend things, not essential services, but other things.
Yeah, like concerts and stuff like that.
And travel.
I don't see an issue with this. Where is the issue with people being upset about saying, about needing proof of vaccination? What? No one's denying that they can. I think when it comes to travel specifically, like on a plane, I don't think the airlines would turn them away. I think what they would do is saying, if you don't have proof of vaccination, you have to wear a mask, right? Whereas on a cruise, I can see the cruise line saying, if you don't have proof of vaccination, you can't come on here. Because you're essentially living there.
Right. And then that's putting the whole, the crew and everybody on the ship at risk. But I feel like there are already certain places where you can travel or you where you need to show proof of a vaccine or something. I remember when I traveled to Costa Rica, I had to get vaccinated for, I think, hepatitis. I don't remember. One of the hepatitises. I had to get vaccinated for rabies because I was going to be working with mammals, but that was a very specific thing.
But that's malaria.
I had to get vaccinated for malaria or take a treatment. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was that I had to take a treatment when I got back. I can't remember but exactly what it was. But my point is there are certain requirements around public health for travel that have been existence for a long time.
But that's intercontinental travel. We're talking about domestic travel, right? Those rules don't apply to domestic travel airlines.
No, because those diseases are specific to certain parts of the world or certain countries or certain areas. And
but most people that are traveling are doing it domestically.
Right. But my point is that, yes, the reason why we don't have to deal with those diseases with domestic travel is because they don't occur in any other part of our country. But COVID does. And it's a global disease that could be anywhere, no matter where you're traveling, whether you're just crossing state lines, even within the U.S. That's why you don't have to worry about those diseases because they're not where you'd be traveling to.
I'm not discounting that. I'm saying people, when you have to get vaccinated to go to a different continent or country or whatever, mm-hmm. people are saying, okay, I understand this. I get right. it. And it's rare to go to those places for the layman, for the average person.
Sure.
It's rare to do that. Whereas domestic travel, we've never had these requirements before. So to have people say, hey, in order to go to, I don't know, California, you have to be vaccinated for COVID on this flight.
Because we've never had a disease like COVID.
I get it, but I can see why people would say, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I get it. But my point is, I think when it comes to domestic travel on planes, I think what they're going to do is say either mask or proof of vaccination, because it's still only a finite amount of time. It's only a relatively short amount of time on a plane compared to things like traveling on a cruise, right? Because you're living there.
But it's not just the time that you're on the plane. It's then once you arrive at your destination and now say the community where you're traveling to or the state where you're traveling to has COVID pretty well controlled yeah. or whatever. Like if it's different from where you're coming from, uh-huh. then you're in that community and
that's not the airline's responsibility.
I didn't say it was, but I'm saying these are the types of issues that we're concerned about because the reason why you get vaccinated or tested for other diseases when you're traveling internationally isn't so that you don't spread it on the plane. I mean, that's part of
yeah,
it,
yeah,
I'm
sure. So you don't bring it.
So you don't bring it or you bring it back home with you from wherever you traveled.
So what's to stop someone from driving? You know, like someone could say, I'm going to drive cross country to California.
And I don't know. I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm saying I understand where some of these concerns come from.
Okay. So realistically then, where do you think this is going to go? Where do you think this is going? Because as we've already mentioned, the government isn't going to implement this. I don't know how many private businesses outside of the entertainment industry and maybe airlines are going to implement this. I outside of that, I don't know what the big deal is here.
I don't either because
I just don't understand how this is a violation of freedoms.
Right. So I don't get that either. That's the so I've been thinking about the concerns that I've read about and heard about in like three different main bins, I guess, which was the people's freedom. Like just
my
I shouldn't
liberties.
Have to. Yeah, I
my
shouldn't
freedoms.
Have to because you can't tell me what to do. Data security, people having concerns over the digital version of the vaccine passport to have their medical information, like, you know, potential security
sure.
risk.
Yeah.
And then the third one was vaccine equity about like there are some communities who don't have or some people who just don't have the same access to the vaccines as other people. And it could create this really serious divide between, you know, wealthy people who have the ability to travel and easily access a vaccine versus someone who doesn't, who can't get on a computer to enroll and doesn't have a car to get to the clinic, whatever the case may be, that now the wealthy people who have ready access to vaccines and medical care now get all these other benefits.
Okay.
So we can talk about that. I think that's...
No, I want to start with that one.
You do?
Okay. Because I think that one is the least... In my opinion, and maybe this is the privilege in me, this is the one that I think is the least difficult to overcome.
Oh, I'm complete opposite. Well, I thought that was the most complex one.
No way. The data security definitely is, because that is a legit thing.
Yes, but I have a lot of arguments for why that's not that big of a deal. But okay, go ahead.
You have arguments to pinpoint how people are being hypocritical about it.
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily mean data security isn't a big deal.
I never said it wasn't a big deal. I just think the equity issue is more complex in my mind.
So here's why I don't necessarily think that's a huge issue. I'm not saying it's a non-issue. Everybody has access to this vaccine in particular. It's free for everyone.
Okay, so it doesn't cost them money to physically get the shot in their arm. Yes.
Yes. And most people, if not all, have access to make an appointment or have someone else do it for them.
Right, but it's more difficult for some people than others.
I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm saying to overcome that is easier than data security.
For an individual person, yes, but I'm saying when you're speaking on a community level, or you're talking about an entire demographic of people or entire communities, low-income communities who maybe don't have smartphones or don't have internet access, who have to go to a library to sign up, like, and if they don't have a car, they have to use public transportation, put themselves at increased risk of catching COVID just to get the same thing that we easily just signed in on our iPhone to go to CVS and get a vaccine.
I get it.
So there's the inequity.
No, I'm not saying these things don't exist. I'm saying data security is far more insurmountable than those challenges that you just laid out.
All right. I guess we don't have to say which one is a bigger deal or which one is more challenging. I guess what I'm saying is with the data security, I kind of get to the point where I'm like, okay, yes, that's a legitimate concern, but we also put our information and our data in online forms, in apps, in whatever. Like my medical records are already, like if you think your medical records aren't already digitized, like what do you
think? I think the fear of this is that it's going, hold on. Before we get into the data thing,
okay.
I'm saying it is, as far as I know, most people have access to the internet. That's not to say there aren't people that do. I'm saying most people have access to some sort of internet device.
Correct. But the ones that don't is because of long-standing inequities.
I'm not saying these things don't exist. I'm saying there's a good chance that those people that don't have access know someone that does.
Okay, this is a very privileged and sort of ignorant take.
I don't know that there are people that don't have a phone and don't have the internet that aren't homeless.
Okay, so there are a lot of people, they've been talking about this a lot in terms of students working, doing distance learning, yep, and the inequities that have come from that, because some students don't have ready internet access,
but or they don't have internet a phone
that's as fast. I don't know every person's particular situation. I'm saying this is an issue, like a documented issue.
This is a side argument. I'm saying most people either have the internet or have the phone or both. Most people have at least access to a phone. And if you at least have access to a phone, you can at least call the Department of Health.
How did you know the number to call?
I'm saying someone that...
on the internet.
Most people have basic cable that's free.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, you keep saying all these extra steps that these people... And that's my exact point. I'm not saying that they can't get it. I'm not saying...
All right. We're rambling.
No, we're not. This is the point. This is the issue. It's not that they can't get the vaccine. It's that it's going to take much more effort. They might have to take time out of work if they don't work a salary job.
Yes,
they lose their money that way. They have to, like I said, maybe take public transportation and put themselves at increased risk of COVID just to get the vaccine. So those are all inequities in and of themselves.
Yes, I'm not saying these things don't exist. I'm saying they are less insurmountable than data security, which we can get into.
In your brain, like we can think of solutions, but I'm saying for that person, that might not feel very insurmountable.
Okay. Fine, but at least the data security thing, whether you want to think it's legit or not, that's beyond your control.
Yes, you're right. It's completely out of your control. Yeah.
You cannot find ways around that.
I agree with you. I think on an individual basis, like there are obvious or theoretical solutions to overcoming these inequities and the challenges and the barriers. they're harder to do in person. I think it's hard to implement for each individual. But yes, even on a conceptual basis, thinking about your data security online and or in an app or whatever is a problem that we don't have any solutions right to at this point.
But the thing is, I wonder how much of that... So when you signed up, you didn't have to put in your social. What is it? What private...
You mean to sign up for the vaccine?
Yeah.
Right, but the... No, but the fact that whether or not you have the vaccine is protected health information.
No, it's not what I'm saying.
Itself.
I'm saying if there's a data hack, if we have to upload our vaccine passports to have it digitized
right
so we can go enjoy luxuries, what are they worried, they being those that are worried about data hacking, what are they worried about the hacking of?
I don't know. That's a good question because you're right. I don't
There's no bank information. There's no social security number. There's
no... but it would have... So it's the same reason why people are being recommended not to post a picture of your vaccine card when you get it. People are posting that on social media and it contains pieces of personally identifiable information, PII.
Like what?
Your name, your birth date, where you got vaccinated, what vaccine you got. That's all. It's your health records. It's protected
under HIPAA.
But the
bottom line of a hack is to get money.
It's to scam you. I know. So I don't know all the inner workings, but I'm saying every piece of information that a hacker gets about a person, so they get your name, they get your birth date from the picture of your vaccination card, if they find out your address from somewhere else or a credit card number, whatever the case might be. I'm saying like there's multiple sources of information. So the point is you're putting personal protected information on a platform that could be vulnerable.
I guess. I don't have those concerns, specifically if it's outside of the federal government. If there is a privatized company like Google that's going to be in charge of this, I trust that 100% because Google, as far as I'm concerned, is fucking unhackable. I cannot remember a time where there was a Google data breach. That's not to say it's never happened.
Right, I think it's just a matter of time if it
but
hasn't
it
happened
is,
yet.
They are so good at keeping their shit secure. Whereas like Yahoo, Facebook, maybe even Twitter, those social medias and those antiquated email systems or platforms are very hackable and they've been hacked.
Because they don't keep up. Yeah, the hackers get ahead
Whereas
of the technology.
Google is... constantly
on top of it.
Yeah. So if the federal government was saying to Google, hey, we'll work in conjunction with you, obviously there's going to be
The government's not going to be in control of this system.
I mean
the passport system.
No, they're not going to be in control of it, but right now they can join Google to say, hey, we approve
to create
you
the database?
To make this database.
Maybe. I don't even think the federal government's going there, but I know what you're saying. I just feel like for me, like all my medical record, like everything is online. Like I have an app for my doctor where they post my lab results. They send me appointment reminders. Like I get text messages
from
the pharmacy.
So why isn't hacking that now?
Maybe it will happen in a matter of time. I'm saying the point is, I feel like people don't question it. Like when you have CVS, the CVS app or whatever, and CVS is texting you about your prescription refill, and like that's all medical records, and we have it in our pocket on our phones all the time, and I don't see how that's so different from the vaccine passport.
I think the buzzword is because it's COVID.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's a COVID related thing, therefore it's corrupt, or therefore there's something behind it and people want you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's why I was saying the whole like freedom thing, this is kind of related to the data thing. Is the least legitimate concern from my perspective.
We can transition into that.
Yeah, I just feel like from my experience hearing, and again, this is mostly just like on social media or just hearing bits and pieces from people, the argument for not wanting to have this vaccine passport or not participate or not get vaccinated at all is because they just don't want to be told what to do. Not because they have a legitimate concern about their data security. Even if they say that, it's like the questions you just asked. What are you worried about? What information do you think is going to be compromised? And what do you think the consequences could be of this digital passport? And they don't have an answer. It's just because I just don't want to.
Right.
Which not to say that that's totally...
And you can not want to.
You're right. Not to say that's totally illegitimate. Like you have a choice. You have the freedom. But when it comes to public health, there's a reason for it that's bigger than you.
Well, what bothers me is you can say this goes against my freedoms and liberty. I don't want to participate. Okay, then you know, I'm sorry. There are things then that you can't do. It's like with private schools, or I don't even know if public schools do this. I've never been to a public school, but I do know that our daughter's daycare requires some sort of vaccine, and I'm sure COVID
public schools. That's they do.
I don't know, because there are more, obviously, a broader spectrum of religious participations in public schools compared to like a Catholic school. Most people
there's exemptions, but it varies state to state.
Sure. So I guess what I'm saying is no one complains when we have, maybe they do, it's just not as loud, when we have to send our daughter to daycare. No one's saying, well, why should I have to have my child participate in the flu shot? It's, you got to have a flu shot to be
here. If you don't prove that your child has been is up to date on their vaccines, they can't attend the school.
Right.
That's the school's policy to protect everybody there.
If we have, going back to the private businesses or, you know, large gatherings like concerts and sporting events, which I think are the two biggest ones that are going to be, you know, either pushing this or not, saying, hey, in order to watch this football game, you have to show proof of vaccination. If someone says, yo, that's against my freedoms, the private business owner, being the football team owner, can say, actually, I have the right to do what I want because I have the freedom to
refuse
do what
service.
I want to have, whether or not I want people to come into my stadium or not. And if you don't like it, sorry. So yes, you cannot get vaccinated. You have that right. You have that freedom. But don't expect to enjoy the same luxuries that people that are vaccinated are going to be able to enjoy.
Sure. So the thing that comes up for me with that is, how do you differentiate between the people who could get vaccinated, who don't have any barriers, they don't have any underlying like autoimmune disease or anything that for any reason they can't get vaccinated? Because that's the point of, like, we use the daycare example. All children over a certain age, I think it's 6 months, must be vaccinated, show proof of vaccination for the flu. And oftentimes a super common anti-vax argument is, well, if your vaccines work so well, why do you care if my kid's not vaccinated? Because your kids are protected if they got their vaccine. My unvaccinated kid can't give it to yours. But the whole point of that is that there are certain members in our population who are vulnerable, who can't get vaccinated. For example, young, very young children, babies under 6 months old, don't get the flu shot. And there are children that age at the daycare who would be vulnerable. So if a three-year-old comes in with the flu and gives it to a three-month-old, that's the problem. Right. So I struggle with the, until we reach herd immunity.
This all assumes prior to herd immunity.
Right.
Everything that I just said about the football stadium and whatnot.
Exactly. So until we get there, how do you differentiate between people who can't get the vaccine, who don't have a choice? Because those are the types of people that we want to protect by having the rest of the population vaccinated. So if someone who can't get the vaccine shows up to a football game and they're like, no, I don't have a vaccine passport because I'm not eligible or I can't receive the vaccine, why should I be discriminated and not allowed?
So my knee-jerk reaction to that is twofold. One, if we have not reached herd immunity yet, why the fuck do you want to go to something like that to begin with? And if you are severely immunocompromised, why do you want to be in that large of a crowd anyway? First of all. Second of all, it's terrible to say, but I'm sorry. I know it's unfair, but that's just, we have to look out for the greatest amount of good for the greatest amount of people. And unfortunately, immunocompromised people are not the greatest amount of people. The greatest amount of people, are, especially with a private entity, the bottom line is making money. That's the bottom line. It's not to look out for individual, you know, experiences. It's not to look out for the well-being of the individual. When it comes to specifically a football game, all they give a fuck about is making money. And if that's the case, I'm sorry, the greatest money coming in are those that are vaccinated. I'm sorry.
No, I get that. I mean, I know that's the bottom line for these private companies who would be making these decisions. It's just every time I get to that point, that's where I struggle. And one of the things I had read up on, which I had never thought of either, is with pregnant women, because the guidance has been unclear up until now. I think it's pretty clear now, but it's been developing super fast, and there hasn't been hard evidence for, like, the CDC isn't saying, yes, pregnant women get the vaccine. And even healthcare providers haven't been saying that. They're saying, we support you either way. It's your decision.
Well, didn't the CDC say there's no evidence that it's harmful?
Correct. But they wouldn't say, we can't say with 100% certainty that there won't be any side effects because it hasn't been studied for long enough.
Right.
And like I said, I think it's coming around to now more and more saying, yes, you should get it. The benefits outweigh the risk. But then I'm thinking, like, okay, so because that was such a wishy-washy thing and there weren't clear guidelines, you're really going to hold it against someone if a pregnant woman goes somewhere and, like, she can't.
I'm sorry, you just can't. I know it sucks, but you can't participate. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If you choose not to get vaccinated, it comes now, specifically now with this understanding that this is going to happen. And for pregnant women, I'm not saying it's an easy decision. I'm not. I'm just saying you have to sort of have a risk-benefit analysis. If you're apprehensive about getting the vaccine because you're worried about what it's going to do your unborn child, completely understand that apprehension. I don't think that's outrageous at all. I think it'd be weird if people are like, I don't give a fuck, I'm still going to get it, right? It's natural to wonder, ooh, is this going to have any side effects on my...
Well, yeah, you want to make an informed decision.
Of course, yeah. And I get that. But if you say, okay, my informed decision is leading me not to get the vaccine, I think at this point, you are doing that under the understanding of saying, okay, then you can't participate in these things as well. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I know it sucks, but I'm sorry because we can't guarantee that you're going to be safe in this environment, right? Because there is still a chance that even if you're vaccinated, you could pass it on. There's a chance.
Very small chance.
It's a very small chance. But if that pregnant woman, if the football stadium was like, all right, fuck it, let everyone in, and the pregnant woman came in and got COVID, now the football stadium is liable because you got COVID in their environment, in their place.
So what about, is there any discussion of a waiver of liability?
I don't know.
If you're not vaccinated and you can't prove...
I mean, that'd be a good idea, but I don't know. And
it would protect the company. And then the person is really, they're saying, I'm absorbing this risk. But if there's other immunocompromised people there and then you give it to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they would have also had to sign the waiver.
Yes, I understand. But I think even though it's a small chance, they don't want to risk another, even if it's a mini outbreak.
Yeah. But that's just to be expected. I feel like even after we reach herd immunity, there are going to be local outbreaks. It's going to happen. Just
yeah,
like
but
there
it's not
going to
be in a space like a football stadium, right?
No,
it's
it would going be like in a community. Yeah. Well, that's how it has been with with measles,
over the last
like 20 years or whatever.
It's always in pockets of communities of people that are willingly unvaccinated or unwillingly, but most of the time it's those that are anti-vax people.
Yeah.
Here in America, I'm sure in underprivileged countries it's different, but I'm sorry, that's the breaks. And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm a guy that's not pregnant and fully intended on getting vaccinated.
Well, I think that's part of the thing is that it's just another like form of inequity that
I wouldn't call
only
it
women will have to. I said inequity.
You did. No. You said, why am I being discriminated against?
I was saying specifically about like immunocompromised people, but pregnancy and or your sex, your being a woman is a protected class that you can't discriminate against someone because of their gender, because of their status of childbearing.
That's not what they're doing. It's vaccination status.
I understand, but it's connected to the fact that they are a pregnant woman, and so men will never experience that.
But
it's just
men
another
that are
layer.
Not vaccinated will. In
but that's
this
by
scenario.
Choice.
Yes, yes, yes. I get.
That's
I
just
get
because
what you're
they
saying.
Want their freedom.
I hear what you're saying. I'm saying it's easier for the privatized company to just across the board.
I get it.
Can't
I'm
make
saying
exceptions.
It, I understand. I'm just saying it blurs lines with some other protected things that you normally can't. That you can't do that with.
Let's take a pause here. Mm-hmm. On the other side, we'll continue the conversation to see if there's any way that we can mend these fences here.
Okay.
Hang tight.
Okay, so we really didn't like divvy that up very much. We kind of just touched a little bit on each of the three sort of categories that.
So what would you like to cover? Focus on?
I don't know. I feel like those were like we kind of glazed the surface of all three of them. So what aspects do you think we should dive into further?
I just want to get into, you know, the reasons why, I guess, at this point, now knowing that there's going to be probably a vaccine passport thing. I want, first of all, do you think that's even going to fly legally? Because you have places like Florida that are already having lawsuits against it because it's a violation of freedom, quote unquote. Do you think that this is going to be enacted without consequence?
Yes, because there's legal precedent. We talked about this in our anti-vax episode, and it went back to a case that from Massachusetts. I don't even remember when it was, but we did cover the brief history of the initial case in court.
Wasn't it the government ruling it? Wasn't it the government requiring that vaccine in that case?
I believe so, but I think it's the same reason why pretty much every case has been upheld with people trying to fight against having to prove vaccination for their children to attend a school or something else. I think in most, if not all, of the cases since that original one, they've been upheld because the courts concluded that public health wins over your personal decision. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But there are certain, like you said, like there are trade-offs to that because you can't, your personal decision doesn't allow you to then put other people at risk.
I just wonder, I think there's a good chance that this is going to be challenged at least by it will be a civil suit, right? Among citizens in all 50 states. And it's going to be so tied up in litigation that by then we're going to hit herd immunity. Because what is the estimate for herd immunity right now? October, November, they're saying there's a possibility that will happen.
Well, like I said, I feel like it's going to be localized. It's not going to be all at once.
I'm saying until United States reaches herd immunity, I think they were banking on or estimating
toward the
November.
End of this year. Yeah. But right. That also assumes that everybody who is eligible for a vaccine is going to get it and that they're able to start getting kids vaccinated.
Right. So you figure most states will have it 16 plus by mid-May. By mid-May, everybody will be.
I think it's May 1st.
Okay, so let's just say May 1st. So we'll call 2 weeks after that and the difficulties of getting appointments scheduled. We'll say by June. So by June, there's a good chance that the majority of people in America, 16 plus, that are able to get vaccinated would have. Now, it doesn't mean they are. They either opted out or opted in. By June 1st, we should know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That means they have 5 months at that point, because again, we said November, we're banking on herd immunity. June is when we think, okay, let's go. In June, that's when you can see baseball stadiums, large gatherings, concerts saying, okay, vaccine passport, here we go. In order to do this, you have to have a vaccine passport. And then it's challenged. That means that cannot be enacted if it's challenged in court. Right. If it's challenged in court, I don't think that the baseball stadiums can continue to say in order to come here, you have to be vaccinated.
Oh, you mean like if the litigation is pending?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think just because someone sues you, you automatically have to stop what you're doing unless the court orders that. The court could say you cannot require vaccine passports until this litigation is complete.
Because if this reaches the Supreme Court, which I would assume it will. I don't know how some states are going to say vaccine passports and some won't, right? Because I can totally see a place like Florida being like, fuck it.
No, I think that is what's going to happen because the federal government has said we're not getting involved. Like this is we're not going to be in control of a national vaccine passport system.
But once lawsuits happen, and it goes to the Supreme Court, the federal government is involved.
No, that's just the Supreme Court making the decision. Right, that doesn't mean that the federal government would be involved in controlling it.
Let's just say it in Florida, some places, I don't know, the Tampa Bay Rays or whatever saying, hey, in order to come here, you have to be vaccinated. And that's challenged, right? And it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, actually, this is unconstitutional or constitutional, whatever.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You can't. I think it will.
No, I think that, like I said, unless there are new arguments made that are unique from all the arguments that have been made in the last 100 years about vaccine, anti-vax arguments and personal freedoms versus public health, there is no other precedent. The precedent has been pretty set in stone and upheld for many years that public health wins over personal choice.
Then let's say the Supreme Court supports that and says, actually, Florida, you're wrong. You have this whole vaccine passport is legit. Mm-hmm. Why would they change their ruling for any of the other 49?
I don't think 49s? They will.
So it will become enacted across the country.
They're not going to mandate them to do it. I'm saying, but if a state or an entity within a certain state decides to use vaccine passports to determine who can come into their business.
But the states aren't. The businesses are.
I know. And so I'm saying just because the Supreme Court upholds all the, if they uphold all the challenges against that, that doesn't mandate other people to do it. It just means if they do and they're challenged, they're going to lose.
So it's a unspoken mandate, right? Because you can challenge this, but you're going to lose, right?
Just like, right, but that hasn't stopped the anti-vaxxers in the last few decades who have continued to challenge it and bring it to court about their kids not being able to attend a certain school or whatever without a vaccine. They keep doing it, but the court is pretty... if there's anyone out there, any attorneys or anyone who's more well-versed in this, let us know. But my understanding is that it's been pretty consistent.
But at this point, it's just easier just to get vaccinated, right? I just don't understand the logic behind this, because you see anti-vaxxers that are saying, oh, it's no worse than the flu. Oh, the whole 99.3% survival rate. Ooh, those are bad odds. And they're tongue-in-cheek saying mm-hmm. that about COVID, saying, why are we doing this when the survival rate is so high? Okay, if that is going to be your argument as to whether or not to do something, right? You're saying, look, I don't mind running the risk of getting COVID because the survival rate is so high. More than likely, I'm going to be fine. And I could say, hey, I don't mind getting vaccinated because the survival rate is so fucking high. It's actually higher than getting COVID. So
exactly.
I'm pretty good
and
there.
And I feel like people are like, I've heard the argument of, well, the vaccine has only been around for, you know, a year or whatever,
less than
a year. So we don't know what side effects they're going to have 10, 15, 30 years from now. Like, well, COVID has only been around for a year. And you don't know what your long-term side effects are going to be. Even if you're a young, healthy person now and you catch COVID, you don't know if it's going to have long-term. I mean, we've heard of COVID long haulers. I mean,
yeah, but
and that's still only a matter of months since the infection. But I'm saying, why is that argument not valid for the disease itself when there's way more evidence that there aren't long-term effects of vaccines? Like, of all the vaccines that we have, they watch for side effects for like 60 to 90 days. Like, that's the time frame for when there could potentially be an adverse effect, or most reactions are immediate, like an allergic reaction to something in a vaccine. But there's no such thing. Like, there have been so many vaccines that have been around for a long time that they don't expect long-term effects from vaccines, but public health professionals and, you know, medical professionals are saying, we really legitimately don't know what the long-term impacts of COVID are, even if you have an asymptomatic.
COVID, not the vaccine.
That's my point. I'm saying, why are they willing to take the gamble with COVID when medical experts are saying we have no idea what the long-term effects might be, but they're not willing to take the quote-unquote gamble with the vaccine when medical experts are saying we literally have no reason to think that there would be long-term effects of this vaccine.
Yeah, and aren't all vaccines at some point new, right? I don't know, the polio or the measles, the mumps or whatever, the vaccines that you're getting, the Tdap, at some point that was new.
Right.
Right.
And they use science to study its effectiveness and safety.
Right. And I guess, I don't know, for me, that is the disconnect here, is that if you enjoy these luxuries so much, going to concerts, going on cruises, going to ball games or sporting events or whatever, it's in your best interest to get vaccinated.
Right, unless you have a legitimate reason that you've talked about with your doctor.
I'm talking about people that just refuse to get the
vaccine. Yes, just for no good reason.
I'm not saying those types of people that aren't able to be vaccinated aren't important. They're just not the majority. Most people are able to be vaccinated.
And they don't really have a choice to make in the matter.
Yeah. And I'm just talking about the people that are, oh, my freedoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your best interest to be vaccinated. And I guess their hurdle to get over is they're saying, well, someone is telling me what to do.
Right.
I'm not able to make that free choice. But I'm saying, dude, I don't know what to tell you. If you wanted to do anything and you were hacking up along and you had the flu, people would be like, you gotta fucking go, bro. You can't be here. Try going to work legit with the flu. Legit.
Like, especially if you work in food service
or
something.
They'd say, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And you can't, oh, my freedoms.
Right.
You can't do that. People would say, get out. You are a risk to our establishment and our patrons here. You have to go.
And we enjoy a lot of freedoms now because other diseases have been eradicated thanks to vaccines. Like, you don't have to go around worrying about catching a lot of those things. And you don't have to worry about your kid getting sick. Like, especially if you have a very young child, an infant who can't be vaccinated, you know?
Don't teachers and shit send children home that look sick?
Yeah.
So where are the parents? Oh, my freedoms, my child's freedoms. He or she can't learn here. No, because your child's sick. Yeah. We can send that person home.
Yeah.
That is denying them, quote
unquote,
but
they'll say
a service.
But they'll say it's because they have symptoms. They're obviously posing a risk, but they'll say with COVID, be like, I'm healthy. I don't have symptoms.
Okay.
Right, but we still know that doesn't mean that you don't have COVID.
I just don't understand. It makes me wonder how much of this is just childlike stubbornness of, I don't want to do what you're telling me to
sheep.
Do.
Yeah.
And legitimately fear of a vaccine. I would be willing to bet that the legitimate fear of the side effects of the vaccines are far less than those that are like, I don't want to be told what to do.
Yes, and I have legitimate empathy for people who feel that way. I think that that's your due diligence to question it, to understand it. Of course, any medical decision you're going to make or anything you're going to put in your body, you should think and understand what it is and don't just, you know, do it because you were told. But I think that that is, not, I wouldn't say proven, but it's demonstrated that a person who's vaccine hesitant or doubtful, when they go and have a conversation with their doctor or a trusted medical professional who walks them through it and explains the science and helps them understand the risk versus benefit.
It would never get this far.
No, I'm saying for someone who has a legit vaccine fear or hesitancy, talking to a medical professional and just learning and understanding and having the knowledge to make an informed decision usually makes the difference. That's not the case for people who they don't care about what the, you know, people who say, I don't want it just because I don't want to be told what to do, not because of legitimate fear. It doesn't matter how much information they have. It doesn't matter whether or not they understand the science. They just don't want to do it because.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was just saying, I have empathy for the people and I completely understand people who have fear or are hesitant to get the vaccine. I would just say it's worth it to try to get legitimate information to help you understand and make the best decision that you can.
Yeah, and I think what's being hidden here is, I don't know how theme parks and shit are going to do this, but if people are going to, let's just say Disney. I don't see Disney doing this because, I mean, they are a cash cow. They do not care. They just want money. Well, Disney California, Disneyland.
I think they're already lifting their restrictions.
Well, they closed for a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas Florida, Disney World has been open for quite a while. So, you know, I think a big component of what we're missing here is that kids aren't going to be vaccinated at best until maybe this time next year, right? And I'm saying all kids.
Oh, right. It's not even going to start for really young kids.
Right.
Until,
at this point, next year, there's a good chance to say our child, who will be three, at that point will have been vaccinated.
Right.
There's a good chance. But it probably won't happen until the beginning of next year.
Right.
Okay. So I can see a private business saying she can't come in right now, because even though she's ineligible, because we have to keep it in line.
I mean,
if we're talking about a baseball game, she can't come in. If we're saying you need a vaccine passport.
Yeah, but I think at some point it's weighing, again, everything is a risk-benefit analysis. Like, I feel like, just like now, kids under two don't wear masks. And okay, if they don't say, they can't come into the grocery store or the restaurant.
So here's where my dilemma. Why can't that ball field say, you don't have a vaccine passport, you have to wear a mask?
Because
it's the same thing. Right?
But they're not going to, if it's, you really think that that person is going to keep their mask on the whole time they're in there? Who's going to enforce that?
If they see that person walking, I'm sorry, it's the best.
And how
we can
are they going to have to wear something that identifies them as an unvaccinated person?
Then you can't bring a kid in.
No,
you
but
can't.
That's what I'm saying. No, because right now, like I said, kids can't wear masks. Kids, really young kids. That doesn't mean that they can't go anywhere. Why would that change?
Because this is, you can't make exceptions. We just said we.
I didn't say you can't make exceptions.
I think there's a legitimate argument. If a kid is in school, if a kid's in daycare, if a kid is in camp, if a kid is hanging out with other kids, right? We're talking a 5, 6, 7 year old, not just our child who's two. I'm saying a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old, whatever. And say if our child was that old and we wanted to bring to a baseball game and there's a vaccine passport mandate issue.
I think it would be for people aged like 12 and over.
Why? COVID doesn't care.
Because you don't have a choice. You cannot get vaccinated if you are under 12 or if that's the age at that point. No, because there's also a lot of, as more and more people get vaccinated, they're finding, you know, they can tell the effects of the percentage of the population who's vaccinated and its effect on the community spread. And we were reading about, you know, trying to make decisions about our child interacting with other kids, even if all the adults in the households are vaccinated. And, you know, it seems to be that if all the adults in the household are vaccinated, the likelihood of that child having COVID is so decreased that it's a risk benefit thing.
I hear you, but I can see
this. I'm not saying
this,
it's not zero. The risk is never going to be zero.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can see this being a point of litigation saying, the virus does not care where it resides. It does not care about the age of the person. It cares about spreading. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, but so right now, if you went somewhere, you went to a restaurant, mm-hmm. and there was a child, a baby, who's not going to wear a mask, obviously.
I'm saying a 10-year-old that hangs out with other kids, that is in school, where there is
spread in
school.
But you just said it doesn't
school.
Matter the age. I'm saying by your logic, you're saying, well, if a baby can't, because right now, or even before the vaccines were even a thing, before the vaccines were approved, so like last summer, the only thing that you could base your level of risk on was whether or not a person you were interacting with was wearing a mask. There's no question of vaccination. So I'm saying, if you're going by your logic, then people who can't wear masks would have been not allowed into businesses.
I hear
children.
What you're saying, and because a baby won't wear a mask, a 10-year-old would. Isn't interacting in a classroom, a 10-year-old
is. They could
be
in daycare.
Most babies aren't in a population of children in a daycare. It's not like 30 babies.
Okay, it's like 10.
Okay, but it's
10 unvaccinated, unmasked babies.
My point is, when it comes to a 10-year-old, this person is able to be masked. Chances are he or she is in school or camp or in hanging out with other friends in groups larger than, say, 3, 4, 5. But in the classroom, now being only 3 feet apart, it's not 6 feet anymore, it's 3 feet apart, and you're having at least 30 kids in that classroom because we're going towards a full learning experience now, full in-person learning experience. To me, that's no different than an office of 30 people.
My point is, you're missing my point. You're discriminating against a child for something that is completely out of their control.
If
10-year-olds are not eligible for vaccines, then how can you say, sorry, you're not vaccinated? You can't, because they don't have a choice. It's different for an adult who has a choice and is making that trade-off.
I don't have a choice where I'm not tall enough to ride a ride as a child. I don't have that choice.
Yeah, but that's for your personal safety.
And
that's
so not, is this.
No, it's not. It's for the safety of other people.
And you, because you aren't vaccinated.
Okay, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if the community... I'm just going to go back to risk-benefit. If the community spread is really low, not saying we've necessarily reached herd immunity, but if the community spread is low enough that, and the only unvaccinated people are going to be the small percentage that are children,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not a cut and dry answer. That's a very...
But that's up to the ballpark owner.
Yeah, I feel like that would be really... As a parent now, I'm like getting out of my... like. I try to usually look at this from like you do, like the virus doesn't care. Look at it scientifically, biologically, whatever. But as a parent, I don't like the idea of kids having to be the only people wearing a mask. Like to me, that's so,
then,
I don't know.
Then
it's different when everybody
too.
Is.
Toss on a mask with your kid.
Yeah, I would. If that was what was required of my kids, I would totally do that to
it
make them feel more comfortable.
It wouldn't be a requirement, but yes, it would make them feel less outsiderish.
Stigmatized.
Yes,
or,
I get it. I get it. But I'm sorry. The bottom line is money. So they don't want to get sued as a result, they being the ballpark owners. But they also don't want a mini spread in their ballpark. They don't want to be responsible for a child getting it and then getting Miss C and then saying, fuck, we shouldn't have let that child in. We should have stuck to our guns and saying only those that are vaccinated. Again, I'm sorry, child. I'm sorry. But this is the way the world is right now. I'm sorry you can't be vaccinated. It's terrible.
I don't think that will ever happen.
We'll see. But to me, there's no difference in terms of the risk of spread. There's no difference between an unvaccinated 10-year-old and an unvaccinated 50-year-old.
Right, but it's just like right now, you can't tell a family with a baby, you can't come in this establishment because your baby's not wearing a mask. It's exactly the same thing.
I get it, but the
so it's not going to happen.
No, but the risk of the baby socializing and doing
these...
It's
not the point.
Eh,
it's
I
not
think
the
it
point.
Is. I think when the older you get, the higher the risk is of contracting the virus because you're doing more.
Obviously, but we've also been told that kids don't really spread it to adults. They can spread it to each other, but they're not really the main source of spread to adults.
Yeah.
Which is... like I can't understand the science behind
well, right
that I don't
now,
think anybody does
there
but...
is a rumbling of a fourth wave amongst young people.
Yeah well I think when they say young people though they mean like 20s and 30s.
No, they're saying
they mean children.
Yeah, like 12 to 16.
Oh yeah,
because
I mean I can see
they're
that
they're doing more.
Yeah, they're the ones in school and in sports and in bands
saying.
And
yes, so if there's a fourth wave among them, I can see ballpark saying no, you are the demographic that's spreading this amongst each other. No way, no fucking way.
I don't know. I don't think you can do that.
We'll see. All right, we've beaten this to death. It's been about an hour. Is there anything else you want to bring up?
No, I just think it's interesting to kind of bat this around because I know that there are plenty of other parents who are, and I think we're actually talking about doing a separate episode specifically on
parents and children
decision making around COVID with kids and
when
how
we're vaccinated.
Right. And making decisions and trying to keep up with the guidelines and all the new data that's coming out so fast. So
we're trying to bring it back to the original theme
of involving parenting. Yes. But I think this kind of touched on it just about like, what kids will be able to do since they'll be the last ones to get vaccinated.
Right.
So, yeah, we obviously don't have completely fully formed thoughts on this stuff. I don't think anybody does because it is a lot of gray area.
Well, we'll see. I all intents and purposes, I am okay with the vaccine passport. Doesn't bother me because I know I will be vaccinated. So I'm just like, it doesn't fucking affect me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to this baseball game while you guys watch at home.
Yeah, I'm not quite there. I am supportive of the vaccine passport when it comes to the bottom line. I think there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed, mostly in the equity
Let me field. Be clear. This is mostly against those that are anti-vax. I don't care.
Yes, when it comes to the I just don't want to because of my freedoms and can't articulate a legitimate reason, I don't really have empathy for that.
Yes, I feel bad for those that are unable to be vaccinated.
And the challenges that some people face in getting it and all that. Yeah.
I get it. But when it comes to my freedom, no. Yeah. No sympathy. Anyways, all right. So, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but we're keeping the shit strong. Thank you for tuning in. If you liked what you've heard, please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix from. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get it. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please take the time to give us 5 stars and a quick review. We'd really appreciate it. If you don't have a platform to give reviews on, I know Spotify doesn't. There are a couple of others. I don't think Google does either. Feel free to rate us on Facebook. Facebook has a review system for a podcast on our page, and we'd appreciate it if you gave us 5 stars. And speaking of which, you can find us there.
We're on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping, on Instagram at whileshesnapping, on Twitter at shesnappingpod, or you can email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
We gotta get in touch with the babes.
Yeah, they'll be coming on soon. In the next couple of weeks, I think we said.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
scheduling around naps and the time differences
and
is
second
a challenge.
Shots.
It's, yeah. Yep. Yeah. But we'll the babes will be on soon.
All right. Well, until then, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Bye.